listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here as well.
Hello, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have a number of educational programs, empowerrecovery.com for helping friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, metaphysicsinstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and other related topics, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org that offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. We have 9 principles of belief that we follow at IC Means Church. I'd like to read the abbreviated version of these. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And more information on these 9 principles of belief, as well as our 5 sacred obligations, are available at metaphysicalhumanism.org, on the website. So we'd like to welcome all those listening to the live program. Welcome those listening to the archives. We appreciate your time. Tonight, the topic that we're going to discuss is leaving the religion of your youth. This is actually a rather big topic for many people because it can involve so much pain, honestly. And so if you, in the chat room, if anyone has any questions or anything, please feel free to type them in there. I'll just start the discussion, and Dr. Hunter, Michael, you can chime in as you see fit. Just, you know, put a word in edgewise if you need to. So, let me just set the stage here for this. Here's the deal. Most of us grew up with some kind of religion. You know, most, not everybody, but most of us did. And you know, in the Western world, it's usually Christianity. And it can be other religions in other parts of the world. But here's the thing, you know, we grow up, we become adults, and well, you know what, maybe that just doesn't resonate with us anymore, that religion, the belief system and so forth. And depending on the religion, it can cause a lot of problems in the family if we were to leave, you know. And this is especially true with certain fundamentalist type religions. Jehovah's Witnesses is one, Mormons is another, Scientology is another. There are other fundamentalist groups out there that really put the pressure on people to stay. It's all about control. And those are classified as cults, by the way. And a cult is basically a high control group. And when you really look at it, frankly, most religions are high control group, especially Christianity and Islam as well. They're high control. I mean, the Bible is a beautiful book about how to create a cult. You know, it's all about control. You know, it's not a happy book, really. Some people say, well, sure, it's a happy book. Well, they didn't read the Old Testament. At any rate, the point is that not everybody identifies with that. They may in their youth, their childhood, their growing up years, but sometimes, you know, it just doesn't work for them anymore and they want to leave. Well, they get all kinds of stuff from the family. And again, especially true with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Scientology. But even I've talked with many people, for example, from Catholics, Catholicism, who same thing. You know, you don't leave the religion. If you do, you're out. And that's the way it is with witnesses. And I can speak to that one because I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and I was a witness up until I was about 40, which is almost 20 years ago now. And, you know, you don't leave. You don't leave these. And that's why they're high control groups, because you can't just leave intact. You know, when I left Jehovah's Witnesses, I lost everybody, brother, sister, mother, father, aunts, uncles, cousins, everyone I ever knew, because that's the only people I really knew were the friends and family support group. They were all witnesses, all of them. I mean, yes, I knew business acquaintances and stuff like that, but my circle of friends were all witnesses. And so when I left, they were all gone, because I was, you know, excommunicated. So I can't talk to them. They won't talk to me. They shun me. I mean, this doesn't happen much anymore locally, but back in the day, 20 years ago, in the first few years, and if I would see anybody I knew, friends, like in the store or somewhere, they would just look away. They shun. They do shunning. And a lot of people just can't believe, oh, they don't really do that. Yes, they do. In fact, it gets so bad that grandparents, you know, they'll raise their kids in the religion, and then the parents leave, and then their kids who have children won't let their grandkids talk to their grandparents. They won't let them see them. They won't accept any presents or anything like that. They basically shut you out. And again, some religions are worse than others. Jehovah's Witnesses are very bad. Mormons can be as well. Scientology, I think, is pretty bad too. But especially the Witnesses, you're done. And so, you know, I haven't seen my brother or sister in well over, in almost that long that I've been gone. And I don't talk to them. And you know, I just found out last week that a dear uncle of mine had passed away last summer, and I didn't know it. I feel bad about that. He was quite a guy, good man. But, you know, because there's nobody to tell you, they won't talk to you. And so, I know I don't mean to be rambling here. I'm just trying to set the stage. There are people who are really contending with this. They want to leave, but if they leave, they lose everyone in their world. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to go through, and it takes a lot of courage, a lot of stamina, a lot of fortitude to do that. So here are a few suggestions, and that will help those who are in this situation. I've coached several people on exiting these cults, these high control groups, or any other religion, because frankly, they're all high control groups, because if you don't do it their way, you're no good. You're going to die. You're going to burn in hell. You're going to do whatever. You're going to die in Armageddon, whatever their belief system is. So I suppose before I go on to include some tips, any comments from Dr. Hunter or Michael?
Well, I was just thinking, when you were talking about how painful it can be to leave, and that there's a lot of how difficult it can be, really. There's a lot of truth to that. But in the long run, it's more painful to stay. And I was thinking on the second sacred obligation, reclaim your power. And if you're doing something for others, you're not reclaiming your power. You're not owning it.
Right.
And if you're ever going to have any kind of contentment and peace in this life, you have to reclaim your power, and you can't just do things for other people. You have to be true to yourself. Otherwise, it's going to be a shadow of the life that it should be.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And yet, when you're in the midst of it, you don't see that. It's hard to see that. Here's the thing. When I left, it wasn't an easy decision. And well, it was and it wasn't. You know, I knew I needed to leave, but I remember the pivotal point one night. You know, I mean, I was in the midst of an alcoholic marriage, and she was just causing Michael and I more strife and trouble and adversity than you can imagine. Well, if you've been through it, you can imagine it. And, you know, I begged God. I was praying to God fervently a lot. And, I mean, I'd been doing a lot of good things, and I was an elder in the church. And, you know, and I begged and pleaded and beseeched and implored and all that stuff. And the silence was deafening, you know. And I remember one night vividly, it was about 1 a.m, and it was a tough night. And it was a beautiful night here in Florida. It was probably in around November-ish of the year, 1998, actually. And I was at the down at the harbor here in the water. The moon was just beautiful on the water, and it was peaceful, and it was a nice evening. And I was just praying, and I was just telling God, you know, look, I've been trying to do everything the best I can. I've been helping people. I just want my family to be good. I want my family to stay together. I don't want a divorce. I don't want to break up the family. You know, I'm trying to do my best. I mean, if you want me to be perfect, I'm trying to be that. And then I thought, wait a minute, if you want me to be perfect, then just make me perfect. And I had a, like, the scales fell off my eyes, you know. I looked, I thought, wait a minute. Here I am begging some imaginary person in the sky, and I'm doing everything I can, and I'm getting nothing. I'm getting nothing. Nothing. And I said, you know what? You want me to be perfect? Make me perfect. But until then, don't bitch. Because I am who I am. I'm doing the best I can. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm evolving. But I don't always do everything perfectly. I make my share of mistakes, just like anybody. But I'm trying. So I'm not going to be under that thumb anymore, where you expect perfection. I'm not perfect. And if you want me to be perfect, then make me perfect. Otherwise, I'm done here. In fact, you know what? I have been out here night after night. I've been praying. I've been doing everything I can. I'm getting nothing from you. And I told him right then and there, this will be the last prayer I ever utter. This will be the last time I ever talk to you until I start seeing some results. And it was. And so it was a turning point for me. Anytime the pain of change becomes less than the pain of remaining the same, we change. And that's what happened to me. And I was angry. I was frustrated. I wanted everything. And I realized it was not to be. And that's also what led me to the pivotal point, the nugget, the blinding flash of the brilliance, that sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. I needed a solution for my family to keep, you know, to fix my family. But the solution I was trying to find was within my belief system, the religious belief system, that God hates a divorcing. And there was no solution within that belief system. So I had to expand my belief system. And then I got the divorce, and I took care of Michael, and I protected him from her, and she later passed away from her alcoholism. The point is that I had a pivotal moment there, and we all have to get to that point. And then it didn't matter anymore, because what mattered most to me was to be true to myself. You see, anytime somebody says you can't leave the religion, you can't leave us, what they're doing is called emotional blackmail. They're essentially saying, we will only accept you if you believe like us. That's wrong. That's unhealthy. It's crazy. It's emotional blackmail. And so I said, you know what? Sorry. I have more respect for myself, and I have more belief in myself than in anything else. Therefore, I'm not going to submit myself to your emotional blackmail. If you don't want to have a relationship with me, that's your business. And there's nothing I can do to make you. But I will not steep to that. I will not sink into cave into your emotional blackmail. No, absolutely not. And so that's when I said, fine, I'm done here. And it didn't matter. And I did lose everybody. You know, a lot of people won't lose everybody, but with witnesses, you lose everybody. And it even had its repercussions on Michael, who lost contact with a lot of the relatives and so forth. I'm going to shut up for a minute. Anybody want to make a comment?
Well, I had a completely different experience in that I, even at a young age, I was critically thinking and being a bit of a brat to ask too many questions. So I got kicked out of teaching Sunday school. So they were happy to get rid of me. My parents, on the other hand, my mother especially, was really disappointed. And because I was a little odd, she thought I was possessed. So that was that part. What did come, though, is behavior. That in a lot of what you call high control situations, there's a lot of dysfunctional behavior. And, you know, it's comply and be a part of the group or be outcast, you know, and that's what I was facing because I dared to challenge people on behavior. And so for me in my, with my, some of my critical thinking, I think I was even 17, 18, 19 years old, and I decided to go on a quest for God. What is God? And I started reading about all kinds of religions. I pursued everything from Gurdjieff Ossensky to the Baha'i to Catholicism, and of course I was baptized Lutheran, so that's as close to Catholicism as you can get in a Protestant church, and a little bit of Islam, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I said, well, they're all kind of saying the same thing. What's the pattern here? What's the thread? And it all essentially comes to love and however you interpret love to be. And, of course, everybody has their ideology about what that means. And so I determined that I didn't like organized religion. I didn't like that it had so many control mechanisms and parameters to the way I could think, the way I could ask questions, challenge, and basically pursue even to study myself and people. And that just made me mad. So like there's that, most people are fight or flight. And some people try to balance in between, and I've tried all the gamut, I'm afraid. I'm not a flight kind of girl because I get ulcers when I do that. So I, as I get older, I have less to challenge, but I think that it's fair to say that if I have a question, I ask a question, and some people don't like those questions. So that was, so it's finding my own, I know that's so cliche, but to find my own truth and to be an open mind. And that became more important. And for me, it was about my own soul. It's about me living in my own spirit and living as honestly as I knew to be with as open of a mind as I could. I just don't tolerate certain behavior. And in that is the leaving of the family. And the leaving of the dysfunction. So I kind of see it. I know it's all a different expression of the same thing, mm-hmm. of deciding to pursue a healthier way of thinking and a healthier way of living, healthier friends, healthier family. And there was even a time where I had to not allow my kids to be around my family also. Mm-hmm. And it was for their own well-being, like their general health. And I told my kids, when you're over 18, you're an adult, you're free to go and see those people, do whatever you like. And two of my three kids went and met the family and said, you know what, I don't know, kind of, that they're, like, they do things different. Oh, yeah. But I have one out of the three who thinks they're all fine. You know, and so it's allowing people to be who they are and not stand in the way of their own free will. I just knew that to instill, as you know, it's kind of breaking the chain of abuse, breaking the chain of dysfunction was more important to me than being liked or getting approval of people I don't like.
Yep.
So,
good point.
You know, that's just for me. So whether it's religion or any other kinds of behavior that are limiting. That was my challenge.
Any comments, Michael?
Well, I can honestly say I relate to a lot of that, especially getting ulcers when you run away from your problems. I very much relate to that. And, you know, it's just a lot of truth there. You have to make hard choices sometimes, but it is for the overall good, you know?
All right. So, you know, Dr. Hunter, you mentioned something, you know, finding your own truth. That's actually a powerful concept. And that's what's involved in leaving the religion of your youth if you no longer identify with it. I had two cousins, one from each side of the family, who were a lot smarter in their early teen years than I was. And they left. You know, as they got into their mid-teens and later teens, they left the religion. And they suffered the consequences. They were excommunicated and didn't talk to him for years and years because I was still a good witness. And they were just smarter. They couldn't accept the belief system. And so you have to find your own truth. Your truth cannot be based on somebody else's truth, per se. One of the big things that keep people stuck in these religious cults is them esteem. I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what other people think I should be doing. And so that's exactly what's going on. We're more concerned about what other people think of us than what we think of us. And we're more concerned about what they think of us than we are of finding our own truth and walking our own path. You see, all of these religions, they all started at the same place as a thought in somebody's mind at some point in history, at some point. And then they grew from there. Their belief systems are not necessarily reality. They're just somebody's reality. And we all have our own reality. We all have our own path. We all have our own truth. We have to have enough respect and dignity, respect for ourselves. We have to have self-esteem. That means internal expectations and validation, not them esteem, which is external expectations and validation. So we have to think highly enough of ourselves to walk our own path regardless of who likes it or doesn't like it. I've said this a bunch of times in my life. No matter how good you are, how right you are, how honorable you are, how kind you are, how whatever you are, some people are going to like you and some people are not going to like you. Some people are going to accept you and some people are not. That's just life. It doesn't mean anything. So if you're in this situation where you're wrestling with whether you should leave because you're going to lose all your family, you know, life is way too long and it's way too short to go through it like that. You need to make your decision. Whatever is right for you, you need to do. Because it doesn't matter in the end. You may lose everybody you know, like I did. But you know what? I am so much better off, so far happier than I've ever been in my life for making that decision. Sure, I lost my family, I lost my friends, but I've gained so much more, and none the least of which is myself. So, you know, you're literally, when you stay in that kind of a situation because your family says we'll disown you, or your religion says we'll excommunicate you, whatever it is, when you do that, you're essentially enslaving yourself to them. You're trading yourself to them. You're selling yourself to them. You know, you're no longer you. You've adopted somebody else's identity. You're no longer unique. You know, you no longer have your own path. You're walking somebody else's path. That's not healthy. This universe, this cosmos is so wondrous. It's so great. It's so expansive. It's massive. And who knows where it all came from? Who knows how many levels up it goes? We don't know. But I do know one thing. It's not nearly as limited as some people might think. I mean, think 100 years ago, the entire universe was our galaxy. You know, they had no clue that there were more than 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe. They had no clue. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the same thing is true with a lot of people in religion. They're narrow-minded. They think that they have it all figured out. I did. I knew that I knew that the sky was green. I knew that. I could prove it to you. One day I woke up and the sky was blue. What happened? Well, you know, I grew. I evolved. And that's what you need to do if you're in that situation. Walk your own path. Don't ever sacrifice yourself, your values, your beliefs, or who you are for anyone or to anyone for any reason whatsoever. Never do that. If you're in a situation and you feel like you need to leave, then leave. It doesn't matter what you may or may not lose. What matters is how you live your life and what you do to deliver greatness to the world. You'll make new friends. You may not get new family members, but you might, you know, in different ways. But at least you will have you. You will at least have kept yourself, and you will have remained faithful and true to you. That is abundantly powerful, and it's very important. It's nothing more important than that. Any comments?
Well, Dr. Angie wrote in the chat, I think many people stay because it becomes comfortable, and just like an abusive relationship becomes a normal reality, the belief system is their normal reality. It's very difficult to make that kind of change, partly because of fear, but also because once it becomes a reality, it's very uncomfortable to not be in it anymore. And she does add that it's so easy after the fact to say, wow, why didn't I do that sooner? When you're in it, though, you can imagine a better life, but you can't figure out how to get it. And I think that there are many parts to that and many layers. Michael did add in there after Dr. Angie that there's a process to it. We have to get there, and it may take time, but the important is we get there. And it's true enough, and I think that some people can get there in a day. Some people take a year. Some people take 10 years. But it is really about self-reclamation. And and take whatever time you need, but hopefully not at the cost of other suffering. And this is how I see it. You got your ride, take your ride. Don't take other people with you. So I would only suggest to people that if you have a family, if you have children, other people who don't have the same potential or possibilities for making changes, consider them as well. Understand that they're going through their own difficulties. So that's where I say, just don't take other people on your ride. Sometimes you got to dig deep and suck it up and say, you know what, I got some stuff here to do. Of course, I'd be using other words if we weren't on air.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the process that they may go through. I'll tell you the process I went through, what happened to me when I left. You know, there's the anger, the frustration. I was angry. I was angry at God. I was angry at people who were, you know, holding me hostage or trying to hold me hostage. I was angry at my family for you know, letting me go, for disowning me and all that. So there was a lot of anger, and I didn't know what I believed anymore. I mean, I felt like I had the world, you know, pulled out from underneath my feet, because I lost my worldview, and I didn't know what was what. So I had to rethink that. I had to regrow and evolve again. And so I was angry. So you might go through anger. Then, you know, you might look at different belief systems. I mean, I thought, well, maybe deism is the way to go. Yeah, there's a God, but he doesn't really have anything to do with humanity. Well, you know, I mean, many of the founding fathers of the United States were deists. And after being that for a while, I thought, yeah, this is not right. I mean, come on, really? How could anybody in their right mind let this go on, you know, who created like a family, you know? How could a father or mother allow their children to go without or to be hurt or molested or whatever knowingly? Well, you know, it just doesn't make sense anymore. So that's when I became agnostic, and I still am. I don't, as far as a creator goes, I really don't know. I just don't know. There's arguments that seem good for both sides of it. When it comes to the God concept as offered in the Bible and other religions, I'm an atheist, because no. That person they call God is the most dysfunctional human being I've ever seen. You know, he puts humans to shame when it comes to mental health issues. I mean, all you have to do is read the Old Testament for that stuff. So from that point of view, I'm an atheist. But I became an agnostic because I just don't know. But I'm open. But, you know, those answers are not really forthcoming very easily. So you might go through phases like this. But know that it will even out. You'll figure out where you sit, where you stand. You'll figure out your path. Just hang in there. You know, I often likened it, especially living in an alcoholic relationship and not knowing how to fix it, I often liken that to, you know, being on a boat in a foggy kind of nighttime scenario, and you don't know whether land is 20 feet off the bow or 10 feet off the bow. You don't know if, you know, the water below you is a foot deep. You don't know, and it's hard to know where to go, which direction to row. But that will pass, and as Dr. Angie said in the chat room there, you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. And I wonder why I didn't sooner. I wish I had done it sooner. You know, yes, I had a lot of things that I gained and benefited from the educational part of going through all that over the first 40 years of my life. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, but I wouldn't relive it again for a nickel, as they say. But, you know, I wish I had done it sooner. And I can't believe I didn't. It took so long to do it, especially leaving all of it. So hang in there. Have faith in yourself. It will get easier. But you've got to have the courage to stick up for you and not let other people determine who you will be or what path you will take.
I see, hope this is help.
Go ahead.
Sorry if I can say this for me. I think my bigger crisis was nobody was hearing me. Nobody was listening to me ask questions. Nobody was interested in who I am. Nobody was interested in my opinions, my thoughts, my musings, my writings, my artwork. They were only interested in the performance and how that seemed to the neighbors, you know, and what it looked like. And you talk about anger. My anger came as a result of my disappointment and my grief that they weren't interested in me. People who honor something outside themselves are not interested in what goes on inside the self.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look at each other as real human beings except in the performance toward the God, the church, the community, you know, and how you look on Sundays. And it's a false kind of reality, you know, where you feel like you're in a movie. And I was sad, and I was so sad and so devastated by that. And I felt so badly for them. And I even for a short time imposed myself. And hello, are you people not thinking? Like, don't you see that your actions and your words and your stuff is like all messed up? And I realized that that was not a cool thing to do. When I started to own just the notion that my pain had to become equal to my joy, then I could own my pain and I could work through anything that I would encounter in my self-discovery, which is a process. And if you think there's an age to saying, oh, one day you're wise, it's just not true. It's being at a point where you're comfortable with yourself to say, I got a pretty good idea of who I am and who I want to become as I grow. And I have my integrity and my ethics, my morality, and I'm genuinely interested in who people are. And that's, again, part of the work that I, you know, the path that I chose is when people sit with me, I really do want to know what they think. I want to know their opinions. I want to know how they came up with that. I want to know where they want to go from here, their dreams, their fears. And that is hugely uplifting and freeing because everybody wants to feel validated. So I may not have gotten that, but I can certainly learn to give it, and then I receive it also. Nobody's ever going to know us entirely, but to allow people to come in and only hang out with people who are really interested in you, that's how you begin healthy relationships. So,
good. Michael, any comments?
Well, you know, as we talk about leaving the religions of our youth, I think back to a crystal clear memory I have of when I first began to doubt, when I first began to think that something seemed off. And if you don't know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have two major publications. The Grapevine says they're about to go down to one, but at the time they had two. The Watchtower and the Awake, and I honestly can't remember which it was, but there was an entire article about how Catholics and other Protestant religions will use hell and hellfire and damnation as a tactic to get people to join and to toe the line. It's a fear tactic. And the article was all about how Jehovah's Witnesses don't do that. They don't use Armageddon the way that Catholics and others use hell. And they made their case, but the entire time I kept thinking, you absolutely do. We absolutely do. That's of course what we do. We talk about it all the time. We launch with it at the door. Knock, knock. Do you want to live forever in paradise, or do you want to die in Armageddon? I mean, come on. It's,
yep.
And it just started unraveling from there. I remember it was, I honestly don't remember how old I was. It was 11 or 12. But I remember where I was, the lighting, reading it. It was a bunk bed. And this was when we were still witnesses before we had left. And it was a pivotal moment in my life.
Well, you were smart too, you know. It's and so hopefully some of these examples and personal experiences of us will help those of you who are in a similar situation. It gets much better. And the cool thing about it, you know, the witnesses, they one of the big things they teach is if you leave the organization, you're doomed. I mean, you know, you leave the organization, you're gonna suffer. Your kids are gonna go do drugs and get arrested and all that stuff. You know, you're just going to go down the tubes. And I'm telling you, that's a bunch of bunk. You know, my life couldn't be any better, save winning the lottery and helping a whole bunch of other people. But it couldn't be any better than it is. And in fact, everything they tried to fear us into, you know, from leaving is absolutely not true. Life, it can get so much better. You don't realize how much emotional energy it takes to stay in a situation that you're not happy in, whether it's a bad marriage, a bad partnership, a bad religion. You know, it takes extreme emotional energy and resources to keep that up. And you can't do that forever. And that's why a lot of folks who are in those kinds of situations in their early to mid 30s, they'll basically sometimes fall apart. They unravel, and they have to make changes. So just know that it does get better. All right, so let's move on to the to pulling cards. If you'd like a card, put your name in, as Dr. Hunter had mentioned in the chat, and we'll do those. And I'm sure there'll be some positive stuff in those as well. In fact, to start, let's pull a card just, you know, for this discussion, for those who may be in a situation like this who are trying to figure out how to leave. Dr. Hunter, would you do that? You're probably muted, Vicki.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I was laughing because as you were saying that and draw a card for what we're talking about, I said, oh, you mean like self-mastery, number 7?
Oh, there you go.
To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace, not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. So, yeah, that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd say.
Good.
Well, we do now have a few people in the chat who would like a card drawn. So maybe, Michael, if you want to give a hand here, I think we have Fran first.
Oh, I am more than happy to pull a card for Fran. And Fran, I'm pulling from the middle of the deck. This is a interesting one. It's number 17, Reinvention.
I'm telling you, these cards are amazing. The stuff we pull, I mean, they all fit so well.
Exceptionally well tonight, too. But reinvention, nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
See, I mean, obviously that card may have special meaning for Fran, but in the context of the discussion we just had, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to reinvent ourselves. Because for me, for example, my whole identity prior to leaving the witnesses was a witness. That was the context with which I identified myself and my self-worth. That was who I was. But I had to reinvent myself outside of that. And that takes a little time. That's what I was speaking of earlier. Don't give up on it. Don't get discouraged. Just hang in there. You'll figure it out. I did. You will. And so we have to reinvent ourselves in a new context, in a new light. And we have to redetermine our core values for that as well. You know, because our core values will change. And so reinvent yourself. Great card.
Well, now I have one for Heather. Heather, you get the first card in all of the deck, and it's perfection, number one. Always remember that you are perfect, just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they're vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
I'm telling you.
You know, and in context of our discussion tonight, when you live life outside of yourself, there's always perfection over there, and the implications are that we're not perfect, when in fact we are. Each of us is a perfect result of everything that's gone before us to creating this moment, and we have the power to recreate that. You know, just talked about reinvention a moment ago. Well, and this one, in whatever way it means for you, Heather, it's a reminder that you're perfect as you are.
Yeah, that fits so perfect, well.
Perfect work in progress. So I think we have, next is Jeff. Michael, if you would like to draw one for Jeff, please.
Of course. And Jeff, I pulled number 41, communication.
Interesting.
I don't know if I've seen that one in a while.
I think that's a little bit of a shift there for Jeff, so let's see what it says.
The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Interesting. And maybe opening up to a new kind of energy with communication there, Jeff. That's an interesting one. I think mm-hmm. it's great.
And, of course, it's right along with what we were talking about in reference to the higher self.
It is. And that also brings up, you know, another point in light of our discussion earlier on, you know, if we've made a decision that we're going to leave the religion of our youth, the way to go about that is to inform those that we need to inform. It might be parents, it might be family, whatever. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an argument. It doesn't have to be a huge emotional thing. We just simply inform them, I'm no longer going to be considered a whatever, you know, fill in the blank. You know, it's a decision that I have not made lightly. It's been a long time I've pondered it, and I feel it's the best way for my path, and I'm sorry if you feel hurt, but that's what I must do. And if they want to get all emotional and yell and just say, I understand your position, and then, but I'm sorry, and you walk away, you don't have to buy into it. It's like, don't catch the ball. Let it bounce off. Just, you know, it's, they're not going to be happy, but it doesn't matter. It's your happiness that matters.
You know, Jeff just said in the chat that, thank you. He says, it's my birthday tomorrow. Maybe that's the shift. Well, very happy birthday to you, first of all. But I would like to say, in the cycles of life, something I write about in the numerology course, in the cycles of life, the 52 days prior to the birthday, because there are 7 52-day cycles in a year. They correct on a leap year, I might add. But in that 52-day period prior to the birthday is what we call the de-evolving time. It's when things that you no longer need in your life just seem to wash away. It can be a hypersensitive time. It can be one of you have to watch your immune system, you know, because it's a rest period. It's a digestive period. So there's a lot of positive things as long as we don't push too hard and we just understand that that's part of the process. Here's the upside for you, Jeff, and that is part of your shift. After the birthday, it's kind of like a full moon phase, give it a day or two. The first 52 days after the birthday is the best time of the year for self-promotion, public relations, anything where you have to deliver yourself, speak on your own behalf, want to make a presentation. It's a really good time for dynamic in relationships. So you're headed into a really good cycle. Something else that I might add, when you want to speak on your own behalf, and some, a lot of people have a hard time with that, think the color blue. And again, in the study of chakras, it's in the throat chakra, right from the, you know, the top of the shoulders up to the jawline. Just visualize a bright blue light there and relax. Breathe into it. Breathe blue and speak freely. Blue is the communication center. So it's helpful then to just think blue, take a breath, and speak on your own behalf. So, and again, happy birthday, Jeff.
Yes, happy birthday. Another Aquarian, Aquarius. I'll be coming up here in a week. I'll
and be 29. Yours is. I will be away next week on your birthday, I'm afraid. I'm sorry about that. I am taking a little vacation with my family, and I get to be with daughter number 2 for the first time on her birthday in probably more than 10 years. So I'm very happy about that.
Well, you're not just going away. You're on assignment.
That's right.
The official story.
I'm on family assignment.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody's time tonight. Thanks for listening to the program live or the archive if you're doing that. If you have any topics you'd like to see discussed on this program, please shoot us an email at admin@icmhchurch.org, and we'll be happy to consider that. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael as well, as always. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.